Yes.
We have been blessed today. We have our own father in our midst, in the person of Apostle Dr. Christian Chepe. Let's welcome him, ask him on the podium to give us the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can see the glory of God in this house. I feel the presence of God in this house. I feel that God is going to bless somebody today also. I feel that the Lord is going to touch somebody's life and is going to cause a serious transformation. The name Jesus is already in the work of changing destinies. The name of Jesus, who is a strong tower, is already touching people's lives and making everything new. Can you see already that something is happening in this house? May the Lord do it in your life also. Amen. The rain the first prophet spoke about, I think the rain is already falling. The dews of heaven are in this place. I just want you to feel it, because it is possible for you to be in a congregation when it is raining, but you can still be dry. I pray that your heart will be opened to receive the rain of the Lord in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some people haven't come here because I say these things and your mouth is shut. You are not able to say amen, then you are not here yet. I am saying that receive the rain of the Lord this morning. Receive that divine visitation in the name of Jesus. And as we have been told, the second prophecy says that he is the God who is able to make rivers even in the desert. So it comes to confirm the rain. Because when the rains come, rivers begin to spring out and the desert places become wet. If there is any dryness in anybody's life, spiritual dryness, any form of dryness, may God make you a wet land, a land full of life, full of energy. He said, I am the one who blesses and no one can curse. If the Lord blesses you, nobody can curse you. It doesn't matter whatever people have said concerning you. It doesn't matter what kind of curses have been rained upon your life. It can be by your parents or your aunties or your teachers or whoever. But I declare by the word of God that may the blessings of the Lord overtake any curse upon your life. And may goodness and mercies follow you. In the name of Jesus. I met this young lady in Oxford. She was doing PhD in mathematics. And I'm like, young lady, how possible can a woman be doing PhD in mathematics, when I know ladies fear mathematics a lot? And even not just doing PhD in mathematics, but in Oxford University, mathematics, PhD. He said, Pastor, mine is a miracle. Because when I was growing up, I can't understand anything. Not only mathematics. Every subject was difficult. Even to the extent that when I got to class 3, my teacher gave me a nickname. That became a name everybody called me. And that name is Tiwi. You understand Tiwi? Obia ni Tiwi. To the extent that the teacher is calling her Tiwi. The teacher who should encourage you that you will make it, it will be well. Now the teacher has put a label on you
that as for you, but today, as I speak, she has finished her PhD and she has been taken on as a lecturer in Oxford University. I listened to the story of Miles Morrow when the teacher saw him, look him in the face and say, gentlemen, go and tell your parents that they should stop spending money on you. You are good for nothing. Another teacher describing a young person that you are good for nothing. So many years later, Miles Morrow says he was doing a program somewhere in the U.S. and there was this old man who came. People were in queue to see him, and this old man was also in queue. When he got to the turn of this old man, he said, I am here to apologize to you. I am your teacher who told you that you are good for nothing. But today I see what God is doing in your life. And I have just come for you to pray for me so that God will forgive me before I die. May the people who see you today and think you are good for nothing, may they see you tomorrow and see the hand of God. This is not about you. It is about the hand of God. It is about the glory of God. It is about the goodness of God. It is about the mercies of God. It is about God's name. When he put his name on you, something must change. For the people of the world to see that something has changed about you. You have a story. May this day be the beginning of that story that God is unfolding. The story may be obscure. The story may not be sounding nice today. But the end of that story is going to be a glorious end. I like that song, as I was telling you the other day during the week, when it says that Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, king, and what? Plenty, plenty, plenty. Yes, my prophet, priest, and king. Then he finished everything by saying that he is my way and my end. May the Lord be your end. If God is your end, that end will be glorious. Because that God is a glorious God. He cannot begin with you and end with you in shame. He will end with you in glory. The difficult aspect about God, which many of us struggle to see, is that the middle is always difficult. Sometimes the beginning is hard, but the middle is difficult, but the end is always glorious. I have followed this God a little. I have followed him for the few days of my life, and I've read about him from the book from the Bible, and I have seen him. And you can check the records that nobody trusts in this God to the end and is disappointed. You can trust in him and he will lead you to the Red Sea, but he will make a way in the Red Sea. You can trust him and you'll be thrown into the lion's den, but he will shut the mouth of the lions. You can trust in him and you can be thrown into the fire burning with hot coal, but in the end of it, he will make that fire air conditioned for you. You can trust him and you will be arrested and put into prison like Joseph without a cost. But at the end of it, he will bring you from prison and make you a prime minister. Beloved, check the records. I haven't seen anybody trust in this God to the end and is disappointed. The middle may be tough. I always tell you that when Jesus wants to travel with you to the other side of the lake, he will only tell you the end. That my son, my daughter, let us get to the other side of the lake. So you jump into the boat thinking that smooth to the other side of the lake. It is never like that. I haven't seen that also before. I am yet to see one character in the Bible whom God told that I am going to bless you. Then by the next step, the whole journey is blessings. No. It always starts with a test. In the middle of that journey, there will be storm. In the middle of the storm, Jesus will pretend to be sleeping.
when you trust in him, even that when he rises up, he will say, peace be still, and everything will be quiet. I don't know what storm somebody is going through today, but I've come here to announce to you that storm will be over soon. One of my friends tells me something which I've also come to like. He said one of the phrases that he likes in the Bible is that, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. That everything that comes will pass. Everything that comes will pass. Because in the Bible, we read that, and it came to pass. I don't know what you are going through today, but that one too shall pass. In the name of Jesus. I am yet to see somebody who trusts in the Lord and is disappointed. He will never fail you. He has not failed the people of old. How can he fail you? Hallelujah. So the whole of last week we were looking at the name Jesus, and we saw how powerful the name Jesus is. And we prayed in the name of Jesus. And I want to make this statement that anytime you pray in the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, some people are praying because of the name. You pray and say, Yesu di nunti. It's different from what Yesu di mo. It's different too. And it's just like praying and saying, I ask this because of the name of Jesus. It's still fine. But the Bible says that we should pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Even some people pray and end it by saying, Adom nunti. Pray because of grace. Fine, it sounds good. But what I see in the Bible is that whatever you ask in my name. So when you pray, try to end it by saying, in the name of Jesus have I prayed. Hallelujah. And that name is powerful. That name is potent. The name of Jesus on the lips of the believer breaks rocks, levels mountains, fills valleys, makes the desert become rivers, springs of living waters. Hallelujah. But that is not what I want to speak about today. I have promised you that I will teach you the lessons God has given me in life, which I have put together into few books. I have started the one on the heart of a true worshipper, and I will continue today and see where we will reach. But I want to encourage you, beloved, as I read this book myself, as I read the book myself again, sometimes I'm marveled about the revelations God gave me to put down in this book. And please, try as much as possible. If you haven't finished reading, please grab your copy and read. When we close, what I'll do is that I'll make a copy available for everybody, whether you have money or not, just take it. If you want to pay, pay. If you don't want to pay, just read for me. So, presiding, that when we close, at least those who don't have copy, you don't have copy at home at all, let's bring a copy for everybody. If you want to pay, pay. If you don't want to pay, bomeka, and go and read it. I don't have problem. But I just want people to read this book. So don't leave here today without getting a copy of the book. We are on chapter 4. But before the chapter 4, let me remind you of the few things we talked about again. We said the heart is very, very important. We started by talking about Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. Proverbs 27:19, where we said that as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. So you are your heart. Okay? Just as the face is reflected, when you put water in a bowl and you look into it, you see your face. The Bible is saying that is how the heart reflects the real person. So whoever you are, that is the reflection of your heart. And then we continue to actually list out a number of hearts that the Bible identifies. How many of them, how many hearts did we say can be found in the Bible? Who will remember? Not those from my house. How many hearts did we say the Bible talks about? How many kinds of hearts? 1, 2, 3, 4, how many? Yes, it's you. 50. 50 different kinds of hearts. Today, let me give you the opportunity to mention one. Just raise your hand and mention one. Yes. Stony heart. Good. Yes. The heart of a beast. The heart of a beast. Yes. A contrite heart. Yes. 50. Troubled heart. Yes. Wicked heart. Yes. Yeah. Kind heart. Okay, I'll give it to you. Diabolical heart. You have spoken already. Okay, but let me. A cheerful heart. Yes. You wanted to say cheerful heart because you are all cheerful. Don't you see that throne of praise? Don't you see they are looking beautiful? Put your hands together for them. Ah. Very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Your appearance, very beautiful. Your ministration, very beautiful and powerful. God bless you and keep it up. Keep it up. Yes. Imagine, I didn't want to call you, but I'll. Good heart. Yes. Meek heart. Yes. I think you have mentioned more than 10 already. Let's go. Yes. Pure heart. Broken heart. That one I was expecting it long ago. Heart of gold. Heart of gold. All right. Let me mention them again quickly. The Bible says that we have pure heart, perfect heart, tender heart, soft heart, clean heart, wise heart, true heart, upright heart, melted heart, honest heart, meek heart, lowly heart, new heart, merry heart, single heart, compassionate heart, flesh heart, circumcised heart, broken heart, a willing heart, trembling heart, sorrowful heart, contrite heart, grieved heart, troubled heart, fretting heart, melted heart, fretting heart, heavy heart, discouraged heart, overcharged heart. Hey, which one is that? Proud heart, subtle heart, wicked heart, froward heart, perverse heart, foolish heart, darkened heart, haughty heart, stony heart, impatient heart, evil heart, deceitful heart, unsearchable heart, double heart, despiteful heart, obstinate heart, bitter heart, fixed heart, uncircumcised heart, hellish heart, mischievous heart, hard heart, diabolical heart, covetous heart. It's even more than 50. Because some of them double. Hey, some of them are 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Because a heart like foolish heart and darkened heart is the same scripture. So they put them together here. Which of them do you have? And the Bible is saying that just as water reflects the face, so your heart reflects you. So we have agreed that when you see a kind person, the implication is that the person has a kind heart, right? If you see a compassionate person, somebody who is compassionate about others, you want to see others do well. If somebody is suffering, you are not happy. If somebody is happy, you are happy with the person. Such a compassionate person has a compassionate heart. A deceitful person has a deceitful heart. A pure person has a pure heart. Clean person has a clean heart. Right? And we also agreed that the heart can change. Or we also found in the Bible that the heart can change. And we said this is a good news and a bad news. Today I'm doing evaluation. The heart can change is a good news and a bad news. Why is it a bad news? Quick one. Why is it a bad news? If the heart can change, why is it a bad news?
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Put your hands together for him. It's a bad news because a good heart can change along the line. Somebody may be very good. That's why the Bible says that do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good moral. So you can have a very good character. When you begin to associate with the wrong people, you begin to listen to the wrong music, you begin to read the wrong books, you begin to expose yourself to the wrong things, you go to the internet and it's pornography that you expose yourself to, gradually, your good heart can change to become a bad one. And somebody's heart changed like that in the Bible to become a bad one. Who remember that person? Who remember that person? Whose heart changed in the Bible? Oh, raise your hand. Yes, yes, that young, yes, it's you. The second seat, yes. Say it loudly. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, God changed his heart from a good one to the heart of a beast. And he began to do beastly things. So when your heart changes to a bad one, you become a bad person. Finish. Have you been heard in marriage? When people tell me that my wife was not like this when I married her, she has changed. Now she's surprising me. If your husband will say that about you, it should be a positive one. Maybe you have changed from bad to good, not from good to bad. Some parents also say that, oh, now me buy in Tisao. No, you're a good person. May it never be said about you. May you continue to be good. But there is a good news in that. And the good news is the direct opposite. That when your heart is bad and you yield it to God, it can change to a good one. Can we say amen? Amen. So as I speak in this room, if you have a bad heart, may God change it for you. May God change it for you. But there is also a role you will play in the changing of the heart. So we talked extensively about that one too. Then we came to the fact that there are good hearts. There are good hearts. And we said that God rewards good hearts. Everyone who has a good heart. That one we saw it in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. God rewards a good heart. Deuteronomy 5, 29 says that, oh, that they have such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God is praying that, or God wishes that we all have good hearts. Because when we have good hearts, we will always keep God's commandments. People with good hearts will keep God's commandment. I had a presiding elder when I was growing up. I've mentioned his name here several times. He's called Elder Metefe. He was my presiding elder at Amfoygan Assembly. And many times when this man is preaching, his sermons are always about sin. And his favorite sin, of course, and integrity. So he will always warn you about sin and encourage you to live by integrity. And his favorite character in the Bible is Job. Job. Have you seen my servant Job? He is still holding on to his integrity. Then one day one of my friends was telling me that, as for this elder, I don't like him at all. I said, oh, why? Every day sin. Is sin the only thing in the Bible he knows? Hey. I was shocked. Because for me, I think that when he speaks about sin, it alerts me to live right. And I took his words very serious. Even today, I've been telling my wife that I sometimes hear his voice, the way he speaks. He's from somewhere around the Bato side. So he speaks the tongue ever. The ever, we have different types.
mind is called Vedume. There is Anglo Eve and there is Tongue Eve. So he speaks the Tongue Eve. And this is how he will say it. Epo nye dola hyuba. I still hear his voice. And that voice sustained me. Sometimes when I'm going astray and I hear his voice, then my heart will begin to beat and I'll run away from sin. Look at me today. It has blessed me. That my friend who said he doesn't like the elder, he ended up in prison because he raped somebody's daughter. He left there long ago. He even became an elder. He was a teacher teaching somewhere. And he went to rape. Well, whether he did it or not, they said he has raped somebody's daughter. But many things happened before that time. And he even stopped the church. He was earlier on suspended in the church for another thing altogether. Then later, he stopped the church. And then he took to drunkenness. And then finally, this head teacher who accused him that he has raped the daughter landed him in prison. This gentleman became an elder when I was a deacon. He went to prison before I completed university. No, even before I went to university, finished university, went and taught in the training college, came to Bible school, completed as a pastor. I was in my first station before he finished serving his prison terms. He would have become, because he was very gifted. God has given him spiritual, even at that young age. He was the one I admire. How he prays. But he doesn't want his elder to talk about sin. He says that if you have a good heart, you will keep all God's commandments, that it might be well with them. Not only them and their children. Not only for today, but forever. I pray that God will give all of us good hearts. My objective for teaching this over and over is to prepare a people ready to receive the blessings of God. When I see young people, I see blessings. It doesn't matter your background. In fact, background is not too important to God's blessings. Paul says that, "But my God will supply all your needs." My God will supply all your needs. Not according to your father's inheritance, but according to his own glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God has glorious riches. That when God wants to bless you, he doesn't need your father's bank account to bless you. You as an individual, God will bless you. So that if your father is like my father, who doesn't have a bank account for you, or has not had any inheritance to leave for you. Knowing God and living by his precepts is enough to prepare your heart to receive every blessing God has for you. Look at me. Look at me very well. I am on a journey to greatness. I am on a journey to greatness. I mean this seriously. And I know that where God has brought me is just the beginning. This is the beginning of my prosperity and my success as a minister of the gospel. God is taking me higher and higher and higher from nowhere. The firm belief I have, David says that the God who helped me in the wilderness when I was taking care of my father's flock, when the lions and the bear come, I attack them, break their jaw. That God who helped me, this Goliath, I'll finish him, cut off his head and give his body to the birds of the air. What is giving him that confidence to say that? Because he had experienced God in the past and he knows that God helped him fight with lions and bears. So this Goliath is no exception. The same God who helped him is able to help him destroy Goliath. That is what I am saying. That if God can take me from the pit and put me on this level ground, then he will catapult me up. And I recommend this God to you, that open up your heart this morning and every day. This God is capable of blessing you. All you need is, oh, that they have such a heart.
God is looking for a particular type of hearts, some kind of hearts that obey, that keeps his precepts. I don't know if your heart is that kind of stubborn one. There are some hearts, no matter what you say, immediately they leave this place. They forget it. But this one, I plead with you by the mercies of God, not to allow these words, these wonderful words, to cross through your ears and pass here. I wonder why you can sit under some of these ministrations and you still go and steal things from people. I remember this story. I went and bought fuel. Then I told a young man that I'll take receipts. And the fuel was 278. So we went, I gave him the money. I gave him 280. Then he went and wrote the receipt, 280. Then he brought me one Ghana cedi. You understand the mathematics? Me, I didn't understand. I didn't understand the math. So I said, what is the meaning of this? Even if it is 280, then I don't need a change. And he said, oh, it's 278. But I intentionally made it 280, so that I'll take one cedi, you take two, take one cedi. He was thinking that somebody sent me so that I can use the 280 as a receipt to cover up. Then he benefits one cedi, and I also benefit one cedi. Come again. Three cedis there. Then when he gave it to me, then I gave it back to him. And I told him that I don't want to be part of this. Take it so that God will know that you took it alone. What will one cedi do to me? You see, sometimes somebody gives you a change and it's over by one cedi. You say, thank God. What will one cedi do to you? Give the money to the person. You see, those small, small things, you steal them to block your blessing. Do you know that somebody who steals 1 million and somebody who steals one cedi, they are all stealing? You know they are all stealing? Why do you steal small, small money? I'm not saying go and steal the big one, though. What I'm saying is that you should have such a heart that does not allow you to steal. Hello? You sit in this room. You hear all these messages. Today, when I was listening to the ministration, you know what was coming to my mind. I was saying that A-Land Worship Center English Assembly is going to be a model church that people will travel from place to come and see this church. Look at the kind of choir we have. Look at the kind of instrumentalists. Even look at our drum alone. Something will be happening in this place, oh. Something will be happening in this place. We are building a model church, and I know we will get there. So you sit in this place. Then you go, you are not married. You go and sleep by a man, have sex. Still come to church, and you are comfortable. You don't know something is happening to you. You are blocking God's blessings. He said, who will keep all my commandments? That it might be well with them and with their children. That's what I mean like. The blessings is not for you alone. God will bless you and bless your children. That is the reward of a good heart. That is all about chapter 3. I just gave you one scripture. I'm doing this so that you will take time and go and read. Now, last 2 weeks, we got to chapter 4. And I started up to a point. So today, I will still continue. So that chapter 4, we talked about Proverbs 17:3. Proverbs 17:3, and I know this one, when it comes to the screen, you will remember. Proverbs 17:3 is what we spoke about. And the heading or the title for that message is, the Lord tests the heart. The Lord tests the heart. Can you give us the NIV? The NIV would be better. All right, NIV says that,
the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. If you want to test gold, you use furnace. If you want to test silver, you use what we call crucible. They are the instruments that are used to test these minerals to see how pure they are. But you cannot use the crucible to test the heart of man. You cannot use the furnace to test the heart of man. There is one instrument that tests the heart. That is the Lord. So your pastor cannot test your heart. Your friend cannot test your heart. Your presiding elder cannot test your heart. This morning, as the choir sits here, look at how the pastor is praising them. And it is true. Everybody will bear testimony that you look beautiful. But whether your heart is beautiful or not, God knows. And if the pastor will know, then God reveals to him. If God doesn't reveal to him, he will not know. But you yourself too, you know. If your heart is not fine, you know. You can even be a preacher. You can be a pastor. You can be an apostle like me. You dress in suit and wear tie. Come and preach to people. But if your heart is not good, you know. A crucible for silver and a furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the heart. This morning, as we are here, God is testing hearts. God is testing hearts. Jeremiah 17:10 also confirmed the same thing. But the Lord searches all hearts and examines secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. You know, search. So God will put his hand and his eyes into your heart and search every corner. Search. If there is something happening somewhere, and examine the mind so that he will reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. But God is doing that by searching the heart and examining the mind. So even what you are thinking, God is searching it. That is why our thoughts are very important. And of course, thank God that it is thinking actually happens in the heart. You remember we talked about it. As a man thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So thinking happens in the heart. So when God searches your heart and it is good, your thoughts will be fine. The heart feeds the mind. So when your heart is fine, your thought is also fine. This morning, when God searches your heart, he should find you a man after his own heart. He should find you a woman after his own heart. And something good is on the way for you. And then we talked about the story of Jesse's sons. The first one, Eliab. When he came, Samuel wanted to anoint him. God says, no, don't. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. 1 Samuel 16, 6 to 7. God says, don't anoint him. I have rejected him. He said, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It is no trouble for me to repeat this as I'm doing. Last 2 weeks, I talked about them. So as a way of summary, I'm repeating them. And it is no trouble. Paul says that it is no trouble for me to say the same things over and over again. And for you, it is safeguard. So when I'm preaching and I'm repeating, it is no trouble for me. I'm not worried about saying the same thing. And for you, it is safeguard. And this is one of the scriptures that dreads me.
how opportunities come every day. Look, opportunities are there. But it is God who chooses who should receive those opportunities and who should not receive. I pray that your heart will be prepared, that when opportunities come, God can just push you and give it to you. How Eliab had a good chance. Even the prophet was convinced he was going to anoint him. He would have been king. As for him, he's aware that he was rejected. But many of us, many opportunities have come. And God says no, but we will not even be aware. But I pray that from now, when your opportunity comes, it will not pass by. We are going to set our heart. I tell you that this thing I'm talking to you, it's not just you I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to myself. Because as I sat down last week, I was reading over this book again, through this book again. I even told my wife that I'm surprised that I wrote this thing because I think they were revelations. And as I read and I come to things like this, I say, God help me. God help me. God help me if in the past I have missed opportunities and some blessings because of my own behavior, because I did not position my heart to receive them. Father, forgive me. But from now, I pray, hold me, O God. Sustain me, O God, that every opportunity I'll be positioned for it. How do you position for him? Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Shammah came, was rejected. Abinadab came, was rejected. All the seven came. In fact, the Bible didn't tell us the names of the others. All the seven came, were all rejected. How many people have God rejected? Sometimes God even rejects the majority. Until David came and said, he's the one. Let's read that one too. Let's read that one too. Okay. So 1 Samuel 16, let's go to verse 12. From verse 12 to 13. 12 to 13. So he sent and had him brought. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Hallelujah. And I remember very well I mentioned here that for the fact that Eliab was handsome and fine looking was not what disqualified him. It was his heart. Because David too was fine boy. So look at yourself and tell yourself, I'm a fine boy. Hey, the girls are also saying boy. When I married, one of the things my wife did for me is to help me to know that I'm a handsome man. And I didn't know it. But when we married and she tells me you are handsome, I thought she was flattering me because all along, I thought I was very ugly. She would say it, and sometimes I would even get irritated. But she said it, she kept saying, you see, sometimes when you keep doing something, it has effect. That's why you should be careful about your friends. I told you that my story. Who remember the story of the Jama song, the profane Jama song? You remember that story? My wife also did something to me, but her own was positive. She kept telling me you are handsome and I didn't like it because I didn't like compliments at that time for you to compliment me. It was not part of my upbringing. But she said it over and over until the thing entered my mind. One day she was not there, I finished dressing. Naturally, she would have said, wow, you look good. And she was not there to say, so I went to look in the mirror. I looked myself and I said, it's true what my wife has been saying, I am handsome. So from that day, I changed my mind. Now I know I'm a handsome man. Hallelujah. So David was also a handsome man. So God wants you to look good. God doesn't hate good. But when you look good on the inside, on the outside, God is expecting that your inside should also look good. I was explaining. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him.
He is the one. Verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. You see, there are some people, they only come to fulfill some assignment in your life and go. Me, I will go. Because Church of Pentecost pastor, if you stay 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, actually 7. In few cases, then I'm at 8 years. But the average is 4 or 5. You will go. I'll come and fulfill my assignment and go. But my joy is that whatever I am doing here will bring anointing to your head. Yeah, Friday when we were doing the commissioning, one of the things I was happy about was one young guy, 31st December 2009, my wife and I, we were just visiting people from house to house, inviting them to the first night. That time I was full-time pastor. I was not a lecturer. I was then in my very first station. So we, 31st, on the 31st, the morning, we went through the whole village, including the chief's palace, just inviting everybody to 31st night. Fortunately, they came. Quite a number of them came. Of course, not everybody came. That 31st night, the whole place was full to capacity. The 19 young people came forward to accept Christ. We prayed for them. No, there were many. There were many young people who came to accept Christ that night. Then the following days, 1st January 2010, we went to baptize 16 of them. And those 16 we baptized, one of them was just commissioned last Friday as a pastor of the Church of Pentecost. And that guy too, it was when we were going on the house to house that we met him and his brother. They were playing football. Then we invited him, come to church this night. We are going to have the defense. Then they came. I said, pastor, what a joy. What a joy. And not that one alone. Many of the young people I work with in Bedeku, I go back, even before then, now, we'll be there, this one will invite you. Is Spencer president here? Is Spencer president? I'm like, how did you guys do it? From Bedeku to become Spencer president, all over. And this one I'm talking about, you should know him. He was Spencer president at BU here. Samuel Adisaba. Yes. And you also know him. Yes. When I was in Sakumono, the same thing, the young people I work with. Now when I see them, the joy I have, some of them will invite you. We have bought the house and we want you to come and pray for the house. You're like, wow, I want to hear more of this. Adenta, the same thing. Now the invitations are too many. We are marrying, we are doing this, we are doing that. And I want to add Elang. When I live here, the stories I want to hear is that we are marrying, come and bless us. For some of you will marry before I go. As for some of you, if you don't marry before I go, I'll whip you. You bring the cake so my wife supports me. So some of you, I give you up to December, I'll bless your wedding. I'm speaking prophetically. Oh, these words I'm speaking, they are not mere words. They are prophetic words. Next year, I'll be blessing some. In the name of Jesus. Then businesses. I want you to invite me to open businesses. I have opened a new branch of my company. First Apostle, I have a mall at this and this place. Can you come and pray and open it for me? Apostle, I bought a new car. Can you come and dedicate it for me? Apostle, I'm traveling to Dubai to go and bring some goods. Can you pray with me? Apostle, I've now been called to the Ghana bar. Can you pray for me? Apostle, I am doing this and that. Apostle, I want to start a private jet company. Can you come and pray for me? Apostle, I'm going to stand for election as an MP. I want to win this election. Apostle, can you pray for me? Apostle, I want to be the next president of Ghana. Praise the Lord.
Apostle, I've been called to go for interview, Bible school interview. Very soon, if God wills, I'll be going to the ministry. Can you pray with me? These are the invitation I want to receive from you. May God forbid that any of my children will call and say, Apostle, I'm going to prison. Apostle, I'm at Kantabak. I will say, Tofiakwa, I don't know you. I don't know you. It will never happen. Only goodness and mercy will follow you. So I anoint your head with the oil of leadership, with the oil of kingship. According to God's prophecy, you'll be the head and not the tail. It shall be well with you in the morning. It shall be well with you in the evening. He says, Samuel anointed David. And from that day, the Spirit of God came upon him in power. And Samuel went back to Ramah. I will go, but the anointing will stay with you forever. Why was David anointed? Because his heart and his appearance were matching. His appearance was not different, and his heart different. How I pray, by the grace of God, when I look through, everybody looks beautiful and handsome. How I pray that our hearts will be more beautiful. Jesus explains this when he spoke to the Pharisees. Let's go to Matthew. So now, I have gone beyond last 2 weeks. I've entered a new one. All this I've said so far is up to last 2 weeks. But today, I'm now moving forward. But today, I may not go very far because I've spent so much time on the religion. But don't worry. Even if it will take us 1 year to finish this book, we'll take time and finish it well. Amen. So let's go to Matthew 23 from verse 25 to 29. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 29. Now, Jesus is explaining what happened to Jesse's children. Jesus is now explaining it very well in the New Testament. He said, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You clean the outside of the cup and dish. We have time to dress neatly, wash our clothes, iron them. You didn't want to wear something that is crumbled and bring it to church. When we are going out, we dress, and the women will have time to make up, do their hair well, polish your shoes, polish your lips. Or you don't polish them. How do you do it? What's their name? Sir Cassandra. What's their name? How do you do the lips? You put on lipstick. Okay. So it's not called polishing. Okay. So you put on your lipsticks. Some people will even paint their eyebrow. Some people will want the color of the top of their eye to match with their dress or their shoe. I've been seeing it, though. Only that I told my wife that one, but it's not a sin. If you use the same color of your dress for your eye, it's not a sin. Oh yeah, so my wife will not do it because she knows I don't like that one. And she also doesn't like it. And they are matching. Praise the Lord. Hey. So everything about the outside is nice. But the inside, no good. Blind Pharisees. So everybody who does that is blind. That's the meaning. If you take good care of the outside and you don't take good care of the inside, you are blind. Have you seen a blind person before? So spiritually, that's how God sees you. Spiritually, God sees that you are blind. You don't know what is good. first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. So the principle is that it is possible for your outside to be good, clean, and your inside not clean. But it is not possible for your inside to be clean and your outside to be dirty. It's not. When the inside is clean, the outside will automatically be clean. But for some people, both the inside and the outside are dirty. As for that one, it's serious. Do you know how the inside and the outside are dirty? Have you seen Autofista before? Autofista. Next Sunday, if I will come to church here, I'm not sure if I will come and continue. But if I will come and continue next Sunday, I'll bring you dressing. How the young men have been dressing. Types. The bad ones. I'll bring you very bad examples of dressing from young men. And very bad examples of dressing from young women. Sometimes I want to be practical in some of these things. And I have a lot of pictures of them. Okay. No. We are not there yet. Go back to 26. Let me see. 26. All right, fine. 27. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Listen. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Have you seen a tomb before where they bury people? The tomb where they bury people. Sometimes you do terrazzo. Sometimes you do tiles. Sometimes they whitewash it. The tomb looks very beautiful. Some of them now, I saw one very recently. It's a rotating one. You see the tomb, the way they do the top with the tiles. And so they did it very well. Wrote the name of the person with the picture and everything. But they put something under it, technology under it. And then the top is rotating. Very beautiful. I believe they use electricity. So they'll be paying electricity bills for the tomb rotating at the graveside. Some people die and they build and bury them inside the building. Very recently, a politician died, said John, you remember? Come on, they buried him in a building. They built a nice building and buried him inside. So the outside looks good, but whether you like it or not, the bones are rotten. The inside, if they should break it and open it for you to see, no, if I die, the same thing will happen. When I'm buried, no matter how you decorate the coffins, some caskets are very expensive. Can you tell me some of the prices? Caskets. Do you have any idea? All right. I'm told there are caskets that cost 50,000 Ghana cedis. One casket. They will just bury human being inside. Napro. But you can also get as low as 1,000 or even less than that. But the inside, no, when I die and you bury me, no matter how well you decorate the casket and the tomb, the inside, it will surely rot. It is divine. If you don't want it to rot, then you have to incremate it. Incremate means you burn it into ashes. And put the ash into bottle. It's the same thing. People even fear that one more than just burying the person. Oh God. So he is saying that if your heart is not good and your appearance is good, you are equivalent to a grave, a tomb. Do we have some tombs in this room? Oh, please, I want an answer. We don't want to have. We don't want to make this place cemetery. So if we have a number of people in an organization, either a church, a social organization, a family or something, whose hearts are not good, but their appearance are good, then they have turned the place into a cemetery. because there are different tombs at the same place. How do we call it? When you have different tombs at one place, how do we call the place? A cemetery. We don't want this place to be a cemetery. Do you understand the logic? Do you understand the logic? So it is possible. So it means from divine perspective, when God looks at you and you do things in secret, but you dress nicely and come, God says, this is another tomb. This is another tomb. This is another tomb. But we, that is not our portion. May that be far from us. Which looks beautiful on the outside, but the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything. 28. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. This one, we need to consciously pray about it. Consciously pray about it, because it can happen to any one of us. I am beginning to worry about myself, because I realize that sometimes you can preach about something and you'll be a victim of the same thing, you may not be aware. How I pray that God will help me. And this was one of my prayers the whole of last week, that God help me. That if there is any hypocrisy hiding inside me, if there is any wickedness hiding inside me, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I don't want to be a whitewashed tomb. I know this because many years back, I was then a presiding elder. Then there was this man who was my local PMM leader. The man was lazy. Proper lazy. Everybody knows. I'm sure Justice will remember that man. You know him. He won't do any work. He doesn't even have a farm. But he said he was a farmer. Have you seen a farmer who doesn't have a farm before? He was always in dirty clothes going to the bush and coming back with a gun. And then he said he was also a hunter. But he has never brought any animal home. So what have you been killing with your gun? So he has one wife. Can tell Apostle, I like your preaching.
The way you give practical examples and illustrations, it doesn't make me tired about the preaching. But Apostle, you said something that kept me thinking. And the Lord has laid it on my heart to come and share with you. You said we should do this and this and this. But the last time, I saw you do ABC. And I think that this word you spoke to us that blessed me should be able to bless you too. That is wisdom. Hello? That's how we should help one another. That's Christian. If you do this and the person gets angry with you, it's not your problem. If you do this and I still get angry, that one is not your problem. You have done your role perfectly well. And so we should learn to be able to do that. In the same way, but okay, we have read this one. So go to 29, the last verse. 29. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate graves for the righteous. This one is a hard one. Even to the extent that they build tombs for the prophets and decorate graves for the righteous. It means that they corrupt even the prophets and the righteous. I pray that will never happen to us. In Jesus' name. Having said that, I want to read the explanation I gave here, then we will pray. The passage makes our argument concerning God's preference for genuineness of heart clearer. Here, Jesus tells them categorically that if they take care of the inside of the cup, it will reflect on the outside. In the same way, it is useless to whitewash a tomb to make it look beautiful on the outside, because when the inside is full of dead bones and unclean things, the beauty of the outside cannot be accepted by God. In effect, one who looks good on the outside but does not make sure his heart is right with God only looks like a decorated tomb before God. Returning to the story of how God singled out David and anointed him before his brothers, we also read that when David arrived, God told Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." The statement, "this is the one," means that God recognized David as king long before his anointing. The anointing is the confirmation of this, that God has accepted him and rejected all the others. Although David was far in the bush taking care of his father's flock, the condition of his heart located him and elevated him beyond his own expectation. May the condition of your heart attract God to you and locate you wherever you are, so that you can be brought to the limelight. It is true that one day the true condition of your heart will either bring you up or bring you down. It is better to start working on your heart, on your own heart now, to make it acceptable before God, than waiting to face the consequences of a bad heart later. Later in life, David advised his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9 that, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." This is a timeless advice from a man after God's own heart to his son. I think it is wise for us to also heed this counsel and make sure that we serve the Lord with loyal hearts and a willing mind. This is the secret to pleasing God and attracting his best. David knew that the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts of man. he was also aware that if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will also reject you forever. These lessons are priceless, and we should not joke with them at all. This principle is confirmed also in 1 Chronicles 29:17, which also reads, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. In the New Testament, we read in Luke chapter 5, verse 22 that, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart like this? This is a practical demonstration of what I have been explaining in this book. Jesus was able to perceive what was in their hearts. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to his listeners, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You can be esteemed among men, but you may be an abomination before God. May we be esteemed rather before God. Apostle Paul again renders it this way as an emphasis, therefore. He said, therefore, judge nothing before the time. That is 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise would come from God. Indeed, the Lord will eventually reveal the counsels of the heart because he knows them all. He will bring to light all hidden things and reward each person accordingly. In the Acts of the Apostles, when the disciples wanted a replacement for Judas Iscariot, the Bible said they prayed a prayer. Acts chapter 1, 23 and 24. Part of the prayer says that they nominated Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. And when they casted the lot, it fell on one. So I asked myself, what about the other one? And the prayer was clear. You know everyone's heart. The content of this prayer reveals that the people were very much aware of the fact that God knows the heart of everyone. They were aware that in terms of leadership, God was interested in the heart more than appearance. They therefore prayed for God himself to help them choose one whose heart was acceptable to him. God's divine principle do not change, and this one too will not change. That is the end of chapter 4. God willing, another time, we will continue with chapter 5. We want